Okay, good evening to everyone. This is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his very own blood. I'm glad to meet with each one of you at this 6:30 hour on Sunday evening in the Contemporary Bible Class of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. However, anyone all over the world with phone or internet access can attend this class. We have a lot to accomplish tonight, but I do want to start out by, first of all, I greeted you in the name of Jesus. And I like to say that, I like to say that for various reasons, but Jesus Christ, you all do know, he is the great head of the church. And he should be acknowledged as the head. And that's one thing I do in the Old Testament. They would all set up their banners. And the banners would have the name of their particular camp. And there were different camps and different names and different banners. The banner over us, according to Song of Solomon, and there are other banners in the Bible, but we wave the banner of the name of the Lord. And we wave the banner of Jesus Christ, he is Lord. So always do that at the beginning. There's spiritual power in that, but we also honor our God. And so, you know, I say different things along the way just to pass them on because they're things that I believe are key and very, very important. So we're going on now in our study of Luke chapter 16. But before we go into our study, as you all, some of you know, I was not able to be with you last week because I'm going through serious illness right now. But God is faithful and God is true. God is loving. God never fails. God promised he would be with us always. I thank God that I'm here with you this evening. And I want to say thank you for carrying on in the name of Jesus. His word goes on. But I want to say a special thanks to those who filled in for me on last week, to Sister Marcia Hall, a wonderful ministry leader. She's out here somewhere. Thank you, Sister Marcia Hall, for all that you do for this class and all the classes of Sunday of the Salem Baptist Church. So we thank you. I thank you for filling in for me. And also Sister Jewel Gay was our substitute teacher on last week. She is not the official substitute teacher. Sister Lana Smith is our official sub teacher. But things came up so quickly last week that God always has a ram in the bush. And Sister Lana was that ram. Either way, the most important thing is that God's word goes on. We want to continue in prayer always, one for the other. Everybody's going through something. Some are in seasons of trials, sorrow, pain, all kind of things. Others are in seasons of joy and happiness. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. We're happy for them. We know the seasons will change. But we rejoice with those who rejoice. But we also sorrow and weep with those who weep. For those of you who are in a season of weeping, we're praying for you in a season of trial, and I'm in that category. But on the other hand, we always have to have something and someone to rejoice in, and that's in Christ our Savior. For those who are in special seasons of joy, God bless you.
Yes.
We're glad you're with you. Now, I need everyone to make sure they're on mute at this time, except for the teacher. We heard your yeses, and we say amen. We're especially glad to see Sister Ann Christian with us tonight. We're continuing with her in prayer. Thank you, Sister Ann. We're glad you could be with us this evening. God bless you, and God is with you. We're going to go on now in our study of Luke chapter 16, beginning with prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we pause before you.
He's praying.
To humble ourselves and to be still and know that you are God, and you are God. We know that. We acknowledge you. We need you. Can't do nothing without you. And we ask you now to be our teacher. This is your class. This is your word. We are your people, Lord God. And I acknowledge you as God, asking you to lead us and guide us in truth. Forgive us of our sins and all shortcomings, we pray, and glorify your name and the name of your son, Jesus. Build the church, Lord. Build the church. And when I say build the church, that church that is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build that church that will never fail. Build that church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Build that church that is the victorious church, the overcoming church, founded on the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ is our head. Be our teacher, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone, please put yourself on mute. If you don't know how to put yourself on mute, please tune out all background noises, radios and everything. So we are in class. Whoever DJ is, that's who
DJ,
I'm
DJ, can you put yourself on mute?
Please, because we can all hear. And if you did it, thank you. God bless you. Okay, glad to see everybody. We're in this together, you all. We're not perfect people. Some people have themselves on mute and didn't know it. Some, you know, that we got to all get along. And that's what we're doing in Jesus' name. And now we're going to go on in our study of Luke chapter 16. We started on last week. We had an introduction lesson last week by Sister Gay. Today I will be giving the introductory of Luke chapter 16, this brand new chapter. But as you all like to know, I always like to give the background and the context of whatever you're studying. It's important to keep that background and to keep the context. Now, when we look at Luke chapter 16, which we know is still part of the gospel account of Jesus, we know he's still headed. We know this from other passages in Luke, that Jesus now is on his way to Jerusalem. But as I have said, when you read a story or you watch a TV show or whatever it may be, a movie or whatever, and you've seen it before, you know how it's going to end. But then if you read it again, look at it again, look at that TV show again, and you'll begin to see different details that you didn't catch on the first time. You do it again and again, and you see more and more and more. That is a good analogy, but it's even more truer with the word of God, because God's word is living. It can never, ever be exhausted. And so we can't stay where we are. We have to keep moving on in our study. And here in Luke chapter 16, we notice chapter 15, ends in the red letter, and I hope you have red letter Bibles. Chapter 15 ends in that red letter, opens up with in 16 with the black letter, the narrator. Well, we know who the narrator is, the one in the background. Who is the one penning this? Who is the one that's telling the story? It is Luke. So Luke is that invisible character in the background. And Luke has told what happened in chapter 15. And then you get to 16 and you can hear the narrator. You know, you've been in plays and there's a part for the narrator. And the narrator says in chapter 16, verse 1, he also said to his disciples. So really, that's Luke talking. Luke is talking right there in the background. He also said. And so Luke now is turning a little corner, but we're still in the same context, and you will see that. Everyone, please make sure you're on mute. Turning the corner, but still the same context. So now we see Jesus. He also said, well, that lets us know that he's already said something, but now he's getting ready to direct his attention to his disciples. But where have they been? Well, Well, when you go back in the scripture in chapter 15, they've been there all along. In chapter 15, we see, and we'll go back to that in a moment. But in chapter 16 now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. We know who that is. That is those 12 disciples. There were other disciples, of course, but primarily when it says his disciples, he's talking about the 12, including Judas Iscariot at this point. So here we have Jesus talking to his disciples. Now a division of this chapter, because I'm introducing this chapter, it divides into he's talking to his disciples. That's verses 1 through 13. But based on what we read in chapter 15, those Pharisees are still around. And we can see it in verse 14, because verse 14 says, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. So there's our group of characters that are in chapter 16. It's the same group that we've seen in chapter 15 and even before that. I'm just not going back to that. So this is something that we're seeing happening along the way. These two different groups. Well, let's go back to chapter 15 for a quick moment. In chapter 15, verse 1, you all remember, we spent a lot of time with that. In chapter 15, verse 1, all the tax collectors and the sinners, that's that one group called sinners, they're sinners. The tax collectors and the sinners, what did they do? They're smart. They drew near to Jesus, because you have to know that you're a sinner. You have to know you're a sinner to be saved. But they drew near to Jesus. They were sinners. They had a recognition of their need, at least to some degree. And so we have on one corner we have on one side the sinners who draw near to hear. That's a key word all throughout the Bible, to hear Jesus. In the other corner is the Pharisees and the scribes. They complained. But now when we get to, okay, you all saw those two groups, the sinners, tax collectors. Those are the ones who acknowledge their need for the Lord. At least they're listening to him. But when you get to verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes, they complain. And why are they complaining? Because this man, Jesus, receives sinners. Do not dissect that from what we're going to read in chapter 16. Because one temptation when you go to different chapters is you separate them from the other. This is still continuing. Let me show you how much. Now, you've seen the same groups of people, the sinners, the tax collectors, the Pharisees. But now in chapter 16 here, it is still connecting. And one way is connecting. We're going to see the common theme of this entire chapter, I'm kind of distracted because I'm hearing something or someone here, but I'm going to keep pushing on here. A common theme in this chapter, but that's not what I wanted to do. Okay, we have the disciples in verse 1. We have the Pharisees in verse 14. But we're also going to notice what else unifies this chapter. What else? Why can Sister Sanders say chapter 16 is still connected to 15? Well, when we go to the very end of chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And it says in chapter 16 of Luke, verse 30, it says, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Y'all see that word? See, that's the word that's been following us in Luke chapter 15. You all remember it was repent. The lost sheep was found. It was repent. The corn was found. It was repent. The son was found. And now we get to chapter 16. And even so, it's at the end of the chapter. Teresa, can you mute yourself? I think that must be you. Sister Teresa Brown. Or be very quiet. You probably turn your pages or don't know how to mute. We will teach you. Oh, there you go. Yay. Okay, so in Luke chapter 16, at the very end, verse 30, key word, still tying it together. And what's the word? It's that key word of the Bible. God commands all men. That's Acts chapter 17, verse 30. I believe that's the verse. I quoted enough, but that's a very important verse. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And so after all of chapter 15 and those other chapters back there, even when Jesus was in the rich man's house, it was still about repenting. So here in chapter 16, don't lose track. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and you would say, well, do they need repentance? Well, we know one's going to go astray. We know one's going to fall away. But we know about Judas Iscariot. So someone needs to still hear that message of repentance. None of us are in heaven yet. And I'm saved. No, I'm saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But we cannot lay down and get lazy. That's what happened early on in Luke with the steward that got lazy and thought his master was not coming soon. So repent, verse 30. And then another, you know, we have these two trails going. We have the trail of the people that draw nigh to Jesus to hear. Then we have the trail of people, they're around Jesus, but they're complaining. They're not receiving the word. They're not humbling themselves. Two destinies. That's what the Bible's all about. Well, the Bible's about a lot of things. What one huge thing is two destinies. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then it goes on. And then it talks about blessed is the man who is planted by that rivers of water. He will be like a tree. And it's the two destinies of life or death. That's what it started at the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was about life and death. And this Bible is about, God wants all men to live. That's his desire. That's why he sent his son, so that all might be saved. And so big themes of the Bible coming forth, huge. And so we see in verse 30, chapter 16, verse 30, after all of this, God is still talking about repent. But then he gives these great incentives here, why we need to repent. And he said, chapter 16, 30, and he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And so God elevates his word. If they don't receive the preached word of God, if they don't receive the preached, and God now, the main way that God speaks today, he speaks through the preached word. Now his word comes in all kinds of forms. It comes through books, it comes through teaching, it comes through Bible study, it comes through all kinds of ways. But the way God has ordained, according to 1 Corinthians, is God commands preaching. That's part of this church age. In this church age, there are preachers, and many of them, and they come in different ways. But God has ordained preachers. Let me show you that. Thelma didn't make that up. Turn right over to 1 Corinthians, which is after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And if we go on over, and it may be in Romans, if we go on over to 1 Corinthians, Acts, Romans. Oh, I got to go quite a ways to get 1 Corinthians. If we go on over to 1 Corinthians, okay, here is a verse, but it's one also, more than one in Romans. But in 1 Corinthians, my eye fell on verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And that is the main thing that is to be preached. For preachers out there, make sure you preach the gospel if you don't get anything else said. So verse 17, preach the gospel. Don't be trying to jazz it all up all kind of ways. Not with wisdom of words. You don't need a whole bunch of fancy words. And God has different means for different people. But preach the gospel. Not with a whole bunch of who shot John wisdom of words. Lest the cross should be made of no effect. And then it goes on down. The message of the cross. It's about the cross. And then verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the preaching. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. Y'all keep saying preach, preach, preach. Verse 23. But we preach Christ. Now, I'm not a preacher in the sense of I've been called to preach. All of us are preachers in the sense we are to proclaim the gospel. But there are ordained preachers. Verse 23. But we preach Christ. And then it goes on talking about the Christ. So that's very important. We preach Christ. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 16, because our time, of course, is moving on. So we can see in chapter 16 is coming on down again to repent or be saved. Are you going to hear the message and receive it? Are you going to hear the message and reject it? You Pharisees, you tax collectors, you rich people, you sinners, what are you going to do? And so that's chapter 16 is still tying in. But when we look at chapter 16, and readers, I haven't forgotten you, not at all. This I'm introducing. When we look at chapter 16, now there is a common thread in chapter 16. And some of you have read that chapter this past week. Chapter 16 is all about money. Money is a common thing going through chapter 16. It starts at verse 1. Then he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man. And you could take a pen or I like color coding things, but they can get carried away sometimes. But I do have a dot even in this Bible. After every time in chapter 16, money shows up. And there are many times. For example, in verse 1, rich man. Then I'm not going to go through all of these, but we go on down and we see the word verse 9. In verse 9, it brings out the word mammon, which is money. So we're talking about rich and money. And then we found out for you all who have read the chapter, it's a lot about trading and things that money can buy and merchandise. So that would get the attention of the verse 14 people because they were lovers of money, you know, so that money is tying this in the entire chapter. So chapter 14 talks about money. Chapter 16. Then we come on down to verse 19. And these are different sections in this chapter. But when we get to verse 19, there was a certain rich man. This is another one. So we have a rich man. He headed up the chapter in verse 1. There was a certain rich man. Then we get to verse 18. Where am I now? Verse 19. And there was a certain, this is another one, I assume, there was a certain rich man. Could have been the same man, I don't know. But it's two, in this chapter, it's two different certain rich men. And so the chapter, you can see, this is about money. This is about trading. This is about merchandise. This is about how you handle money in life. There are two ways that money can be handled in life. There are two ways that finances and material wealth and goods that God has given to people can be handled. You'll see in this chapter, one man was very shrewd. He's called in he's called the unjust steward. That's what some Bibles say. My Bible at the heading of chapter 16 says, Parable of the Unjust Steward. Now that's what my study Bible says. But then when we go on down, when I go down to verse 8, I have the words of the Bible. And verse 8 said, so the master commended the unjust steward. And it talks about this was an unjust steward. Okay, we'll be saying a lot more about him. And so we have this certain rich man. He is this unjust steward. So this chapter is, as I'm trying to show you, and you can see now, it's about money being tied together. If I had to pick out a theme verse from this chapter, and I encourage you to look for those themes. That's why I spend a lot of time on outlines, what verses, what's the context. Well, one theme, now I'll be having several themes before I'm done with the chapter. But when I look at verse 13 to me is key. It's a key, it's summing together things. It's a summation. Jesus has told and said what he said. And he has several summations. Because when you get to verse, I still haven't forgot you, readers. When you get to verse 8, see that verse 8? Well, if you have a New King James, and that's what I teach from, if you have another version, I'm not quite sure what it will say, but it'll probably say something about the same. But verse 8, verse 1 through 7, Jesus is talking. And you'll see those, what he's saying. But when you get to verse 8, it says, so the master commended the unjust steward because. And then verse 9, I say to you. And so now it's a summation of what Jesus was talking about in the earlier verses, but he's summing it up now. This is my point. And this, you know, this is a challenging text, I will say too. I read it and I read it and I read it and I prayed. Sure enough, better pray. Lord, open up this word to me. Open up your word. And so verse 8, he starts concluding. Jesus starts summarizing. And we'll see in the middle of this chapter, a summary as it were. Jesus is saying, this is what it's all about. And so verse 8 through verse 13, I would say summary, pulling it together. But when you read the first part of it, it's like, are you sure this is a summary? Jesus, is this really what you want me to do? Do you really want me to act like the unjust steward? And we'll be reading that. So chapter verses 8 through 13, I would say is Jesus is giving the point, the main point of why he told this story about the rich man to begin with. Now, verse 13 says, we've heard this verse. Bread of Life court verse has memorized. We memorized it from Matthew, I believe. But chapter 6, verse 13. I mean, what am I saying? Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Key verse, a key verse of the chapter, of which the other verses are revolving around. Verse 13, when it's all said and done, no man, and that includes everyone, it's one of them summary words, nobody, no man, nowhere, no one, no servant can serve, here it comes again, two masters. See, that's the rich men on one side, the Pharisees on one side, sinners on the other side, those who are listening. But you, verse 13, no one, no servant can serve two masters. That is a spiritual law. And there are laws, you know, laws. The natural laws say what goes up must come down. That's a natural physic law. I think that's what it is. Anyway, y'all know what goes up must come down. That is a law of gravity. Well, verse 13, here's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's true. Worldwide, no servant can serve two masters. You just can't do it. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve them both. You can try. And see, that's the key to this, to the rich man, this first rich man we're going to read about. In the end, he's trying to serve two masters. Now we'll be saying more about him, the unjust steward. But verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Here's the law. You cannot serve God and money. Can't do it. So this chapter is about money and how you relate to money and how you let money, finances, wealth, especially earthly wealth. That's what we're talking about, earthly wealth. And it doesn't always necessarily mean billionaires and millionaires and billionaires. Of course, it means that. It has to do with finances and wealth, how you handle your money, especially now Jesus is talking to the rich. He is talking to these lovers, to the rich and lovers of money. And then in this chapter, readers, I haven't forgotten you. Then in this chapter, you get to these verses down here, verse 16, Jesus talks, now he turns his attention to the Pharisees because they love money. And he goes on saying some things there we'll be studying. Jesus is talking, but it's kind of like, at least when I was studying this and I'm still studying it, it's like, why did the Lord put some of these verses here? Especially verse 18. I'm just reading and studying and reading. I start out reading. I must read a passage 50 times at least. And then I'm reading the context. And I'm in the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. That's key to teaching the Bible, is read it. And so I'm reading and reading and reading. And then I get to verse 18, and here comes this verse. It's like, where did it come from? Verse 18. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Now you must admit, you reading it too. And it's like, uh-oh, speed bump. Uh-oh, chuck hole. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? Why he bringing up divorce? And then the Lord, now you know the Lord is the only wise guy. He's got a reason. But you also notice He didn't have a lot to say right here. So still keep everything in context. That is very key. And that is especially key in this verse. I'm still trusting God to open up whatever it is he would have me to teach and to say. Now, I will say this by way of introduction and as teaching, I never, ever, never try to go beyond what God opens up to me. If he doesn't open up, Velma's going to say, Lord, Velma's going to say, you all, God hasn't opened up this to me. We'll get back to it when he does. I'll just go over it. We'll read it. I'll acknowledge his truth. But God hasn't opened it up to me. And if God doesn't open it up, I ain't going to be trying to mess with God's word. You know, it takes the Holy Ghost anyway for any of God's word to be taught. You have to have the Spirit. Jesus said, my word is spirit. And it is. You can study, study, study. Come to every Bible study you know in the world. But until God opens this up, it's hidden. It's still a hidden word. And that's why you have so many people, they read the Bible, but they don't understand it. It's hidden. And I'm not saying by any means I understand it all. What I'm saying is I need the Lord to open up his word. And I will never teach, ever try to teach beyond what he gives me. That does not mean everything I say is 100% perfect, because I'm not a perfect person. But I believe you all understand what I'm saying. And then when God gives more knowledge, I'll share that. And so that's this chapter. Then we come on down and we're going to meet up with that second rich man. We've heard sermons about him. However, I said this other day, talking to myself like these people in the Bible. Have you all noticed the different people be talking to themselves? Like the man in the pig pen, the prodigal son. He was talking to himself. And then we're going to see here in Luke 16 now, with this man who's got the unjust steward, he's going to start talking to himself. So, you know, folks be talking to themselves. And I was talking to myself too the other day, you know, talking God's word. So anyway, we get to verse 19, and here's this rich man, another rich man, and we'll be reading about him. Now, it's after 7. I do want us to at least read part of our passage. It is my goal tonight to perhaps we study these verses 1 through 8. So that's the goal for tonight. It's Luke chapter 16. Verses 1 through 8. And I hope you all got, in the end, when it's all said and done, there are two destinies, life or death. Jesus is life. Without Jesus is death. That's it. That's what it's about. All throughout the Bible, starting in Genesis, and even there's more even before then, life and death, who are you going to choose? And so that's the choices we see, but it's evolving around money now. So our readers, Luke chapter 16, I do ask that you read from the New King James Version of the Bible, verses 1 through 4, is Sister Carolyn Poindexter. And then Sister Lily Carther will be reading for us this evening, chapter 16, verses 5 through 8. So if you all will kindly unmute yourself when it's your time and go ahead and read the passage. Sister Carolyn, are you there, Poindexter?
I'm here. I'm sorry, it's taking me forever. I had the King James Version pulled up, and so I was trying to find the New King James.
Carolyn, come on. You've had 15 weeks. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, I was just messing with you, but we're ready for you.
Okay. Hold your horses.
Mm-hmm.
May I just read the... Oh, here it is. Here it is. New King James.
All right.
Luke chapter 16, 1 through 4.
Correct.
He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.
Thank you.
So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commanded the unjust stewards, because he had dealt sturdily. But the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light.
Okay, thank you, both readers. Thank you very much. Okay, now let's look at this passage. We probably won't finish it tonight. You all know how we study, but we're going to start at it here. Now we notice we have to get your character. And when I was reading this passage and studying, even today and the other days, trying to keep straight who's who, well, that we have this main character. Now we already know Luke is narrating and the disciples are listening. And we know the Pharisees are in the background. We know that. But here in chapter 16, Jesus tells this story now about a certain rich man. So we need to keep him straight and him isolated. He is a key character. He is the rich man. All right? Now, this certain rich man, now is going to break out and tell us about this man. This rich man, he had a steward. Now you got to find out, well, what's a steward? Well, a steward is one who is in charge of the goods of another. So this tells you this is he was a rich man. We know that, but he was a steward. So he has employees, and we know that from the story. He has employees. He has people working for him. He may be a foreman, a boss. So, well, he's got people working under him, this certain rich man. And we know that he had people under him. The certain rich man had a steward. And a steward is one who has people under him. You all got it? So we have the rich man who has, we'll say he's leased out his corn, his crops, his land, his buildings, his barns, whatever he has. He's got someone else seeing about it, managing it on his behalf. He's the rich man. He can afford to get a steward to do the work for him, okay? So we have this rich man who had a steward. Now, we know he's got some kind of crops and some kind of land, some kind of agriculture. Evidently, there's some buildings around, you know, all of this work to go on and the business aspect of it, all of that. So this certain rich man had a steward. Now, the steward is responsible. The rich man has hired him to take care of whatever he's to take care of. So he has this steward. Well, everything's so far so good. But now here comes problem. It says an accusation was brought to him. an accusation. Now, you know what an accusation is. As an accuser, a fault. He did something, you know, accused. So this steward, who is the manager, has been accused of doing something wrong. Somebody told on him. Now he's the steward. Remember, the rich man is off in his mansion at whatever island, wherever. Probably not that, but you all get the story, get the picture. He's off somewhere else. But he gets word because the accusation comes to him. Somebody brought it. That's another character. Somebody brought this accusation that the foreman, trying to keep these characters straight, wasn't doing what he should have been doing. And somebody told on him that this man was wasting the goods. All right? So the man, the foreman, I'm going to use words I'm more common with, the boss man, under the owner, he wasn't doing what he should have been doing. He was wasting the master's goods. Now, one thing we need to keep in mind with these parables is these things relate to us, too. And so, you know, the disciples are listening, and you know, of course, those money lovers are listening. So verse 2 tells us, now that this accusation has been brought, verse 2 says, so he, and that he would be, that he would be the rich man. So he, the owner, called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Now that's something all of us need to keep in mind, because God ultimately is the rich man. He's not this particular rich man, because we'll find out this rich man, we'll see some things weren't quite right with him either. But God ultimately is the rich man and the owner of all the fields and all the land and all the houses that ultimately we'll all have to give an account to. All right, Sister Catherine, if you would put on the screen for me, keep track of my time, because I didn't set my timer and my clock went away. Okay, so verse 2, so he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Now that you all keep in mind, the day will come. Well, each one of us will have to give an account of the things done in this body. We've all got to stand before God and answer this question. What is this I hear about you? In one way or another, God's got the record. But an account must be given. So verse 2, give an account of your stewardship. Everything God's given us to do, we're going to have to give an account of it someday. Because God is excellent. Excellent. We know how we sing excellent. Oh, how excellent is his name in all the earth. That's going to include judgment too. He's an excellent God, not going to miss nothing. So verse 2, give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Catherine, did you pop time up? For you can no longer be steward. And so here in verse 2, this owner, the foreman, the manager, the one who had been entrusted to take care of the man's goods, he's in trouble. Well, what time is it, Catherine? He's in trouble. The rich man is in trouble. Not the rich man, the other man. Y'all see I'm trying to keep these characters straight.
7:19.
Thank you. Let me know when it's 7:25, please. So the steward ain't been doing right. The head man, the boss, the owner, gets a accusation. He hears about it. You've been wasting my goods. Tell me what's going on. Now, he already heard what was going on, but now God wants to hear, or the owner wants to hear from this worker. You give an account for yourself. You know, because people will lie on you now. They sure enough will. And so he's given the man a chance. Now, he pretty well knows what's true because, you know, he's probably done his own investigating and his own watching, you know, probably. He ain't a stupid man to get where he was. So verse 2, give an account of your stewardship, because this man's getting ready to lose his job. It says you can no longer be steward. Now, this is what's going to motivate this man. He's getting ready to lose. And he wasn't no poor man himself, because you got the rich man, the man under him. You know he's paid well. This man is paid well, has well, been doing pretty good. But in verse 2 now, here's going to come something to motivate the rest of the chapter. You're getting ready to lose what you got. You can no longer be steward. Well, the steward is what? That's where he got his money from. That's what paid the mortgage. That's what bought the cars, the land, everything. This his money. Not only his money, we're going to find out also about his reputation and his honor and his glory. He's going to lose it all. So that's going to be motivating this man to be the shrewd steward that we're going to see him be, this shrewd steward. He's trying to hold on to stuff. Instead of saying, I was wrong, let me do what's right, he's going to be trying to hold on now, because it says you can no longer be steward. His job is at risk, his income, all of that. But then it says in verse 3, then the steward said within himself, here we go again, talking to himself, because he's got to do what? Come up with some solution here. He getting ready to lose everything, and all this business going to be on the street. You know, they had already got talking, because sin's going to come out one way or the other. But now he's trying to cover himself. So verse 3, the steward said within himself, and you all know how we do that. He's trying to come up with a solution here, talking to himself. What shall I do? That's key. What shall I do? For my master, you know, now he's under some fear here. He had a good cover going for a while, but now things have been, he's been accused. And he's guilty, because there's no pushback. He didn't say I was wrong. But verse 3, he says, what shall I do? Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. What shall I do? Instead of saying I'm wrong. So what shall I do? Now he's talking to himself. My master is taking. My master is taking. It was his to take. My master is taking the stewardship away from me. That's subtraction. He had been getting adding. He was adding on that calculator. But now he's getting ready to subtract. You're going to lose everything because you wasn't right. So in verse 3, he's looking for a solution, you all. And that's what's going to lead to his unjustness and his shrewdness. Okay, so verse 3, what shall I do? For my master is taking. My master, y'all notice that. The nerve, the man was the master. It was his to take. For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. Then he says, I can't dig, meaning I ain't going out there digging no ditches. I can't do that. I'm not built to do that. I can't dig crops. I can't do any of that hard manual labor. I don't have any calluses on my hand. I cannot dig. I'm the man in the office. I'm the man watching or looking over you digging. So he said, I can't dig. Now he's looking about, what is he looking after? His reputation. you know, because everything's going to be exposed. He's going to lose everything. Where he been up in the office walking around telling people what to do. Thank you, Sister Catherine. Well, he's been walking around telling folks what to do. Now he might be out there digging. So you're going to see the desperation of this man and what's going to make him shrewd and unjust. Verse 4, I have resolved what to do. Now he's got a solution. You all seen them cartoons, the light bulb goes out. Bing. Well, that's what happens here. I have resolved what to do. He's come up with his solution that when I am put out of the stewardship, because, you know, his job evidently has been lost. But he's still around because he hadn't been put out. You all notice that time word in there? He still has some time because verse 4 says, I have resolved what to do that when I am put out. So it's like he had time. This rich man, maybe he said, I'm going to give you a month to get the books straight. I'm going to give you a whatever to get things straight. And then you're going to have to hand me the keys. But whatever it was, he had some time. Catherine, let me know when it's 7:23, which is about now. What shall I do? For my master is taking. I'm losing my reputation. You know how the Lord's Prayer ends? Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. That's what, man, when you trace it all about, people are looking out for their glory, their kingdom, their power. And we have to remember that. I'm going to close today on this. It's about thine is the kingdom. It ain't about my kingdom. God owns it all. Thine is the glory. If there be any glory, if it be any praise, it belongs all to the Lord and his son, Jesus Christ. Thine is the honor. Thine is the glory. Thine is the kingdom. This all belongs to God. Okay? So we'll pick up next week because our time is up. And you all, this man, I'm closing and going into prayer, was a shrewd, but he's unjust steward. And that's what made this, you know, I need the Lord to open this up to me because he was commended. You'll see that in this passage. Matter of fact, it kind of looks like he didn't lose his job. Well, he did, but he came out okay. And I say, crooked will take you a long way. Crooked will even bring success. But when it's all said and done, be on the other side of the grave, like the rich man and Lazarus, you're going to lose it if you don't get it right. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus has come, that we might choose life and have life, and have life more abundantly, and have life to the fullest. In every way, whatever way you mean it to be, you are a good God, and you have made it plain. I set before you life and death. Which will you choose? Joshua said that many years ago. And here we are in Luke chapter 16, and Jesus is saying the same thing. And that's Jesus is saying, choose life. That's what it's all about. Even in our finances, choose life. So, Lord, I pray you bless this word. I lift it up to you. May you be glorified. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Be with us through this week. Keep us in your care. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the next minute holds. But we know you hold all of our minutes, and you are our loving Heavenly Father. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
We made it.
Yeah. Amen.
We made it, Sister Teresa Brown.
Amen.
Yes.
And
what
everybody
a joy.
Else.
Praise God for you.
Praise your heart and love you. God bless you.
Yes. Yes. Everyone have a blessed week. Be
you
safe.
Well.
You everyone, all, take
you
care.
All reading and studying that text and meditating on it.
All right. Yeah, all right.
Absolutely.
Man.
God bless you.
God bless you all.
Bless you. Yeah.
Love you.
And we do have Miss Ruby tonight.
Sister Ruby Williams, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Good evening, Sister Ruby Williams. We're glad you're with us.
Miss Hello?
Ruby? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Glad to see everybody. You all have a great week. Okay.
Emma. Love to everybody.
Rochelle.
I see you, Rochelle.
I had a guest today, but I did not know how to get them on. So I'm just wondering if Miss Marsha could stay with me too, and I could give her the email so she can send them next week.
Sister Marsha, can you connect with Rochelle?
Yes.
Is that okay, Rochelle? I can.
That's great. So I can give Miss Marsha her email address, and she can send the link directly to her.
Okay, we'll take care of it.
Okay, thank you. God bless. I enjoyed the lesson.
God bless everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm gonna stop God bless recording. You too. Stop recording. Okay, I stopped recording, yes.